Brought to you by Fratelloni's Ace Hardware Stores. We had Todd Okerlund on the show earlier today.
Oh, great. Yeah, great kid. And I bet he told you some good stories about Dad.
Well, I share your sentiment. Of all the years he's been around, I never had a sit-down with him.
Yeah, I never did, but we all said hello to him. With him a little bit and stuff, but we did not. I didn't get the good hour interview kind of conversation where I could have written a book about it, but... you know, I do love the fact that the guy was basically wearing bad sport coats, selling at Channel 11, and Marty wouldn't cross the picket line, and he ends up being Mean Gene for 40 years. You know.
Oh, and what I told Todd, you know, whatever it is,
yes,
Gene got it. He got it.
Oh yeah.
He was a natural.
He was willing, you know, he was perfect because even before he ever got into wrestling, he was willing to do anything, you know, sing Tutti Frutti and be in a rock band and sell and be on the air and do all those stuff. So he was a great character. And every time, you know, these AWA guys have just been, you know, they're all of that age now in their 70s, early 80s, and they're falling like crazy. And every time I would call him, and he'd have a story.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the one I repeated today about the Marty O'Neill, Bobby Heenan one that he always tells?
No. Was that in your column today?
I did a blog today.
Oh, I didn't see the blog.
Yeah, but I'd written this before, too. I guess when Marty was doing an interview with Heenan, and Heenan was the strategist for Nick Bockwinkel, who was going to capture the title from Gagne.
Right.
You know? And he came out there with a great big portfolio with all these strategies in it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I did read that, yes.
And then he showed it to Marty, and it was a Playboy centerfold behind the portfolio. Marty, kind of behind the sunglasses, his eyebrows kind of pop up.
Yeah.
And he says, "That's a very interesting plan you have there,
that's
Bobby."
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they had some great characters. Al DeRusha, who's... ended up being a ring announcer and a referee, and he was the original producer of the show. There's a guy that got a book, man. He's in his 80s now, and he started working in a carnival at age 6, and he's still with that family, but he was in wrestling, early Pioneer TV, and carnival business.
Wow.
He's never had a boring day in his life. And what he did, you know, Mean Gene did the first thing, filling in for Marty, and Al was the producer, and I don't know if he was crossing the picket line or not, but he liked Gene, so he had Gene come up to his lake cabin for the weekend and said, "Okay, these are the guys, and this is what you got to do, and this is how this all works," and Gene took it from there, man. Unbelievable. So what, Todd, the nice thing about being Todd Okerlund is, there probably were people who wanted to give you a hard time about being Gene's old man.
Yeah.
Except you were a big, strong, you know, fantastic hockey player who could kick the hell out of them if they crossed the line.
Right.
So,
are you at your Florida estate?
No, I'm on the way to the airport, however. We're kind of winding our way to the airport. We left early here. Yeah, I'm not going until later, like late this afternoon.
Okay.
So.
We lost Super Dave, too, huh?
Ah, right, Super Dave. I did not. Did you know he was Albert Brooks' older brother?
Not till I read the New York Times obit today.
Yeah, I mean, neither did I. I read the Times obit, and... the old man was a comedian, too, you know, kind of a Catskills-type comedian.
Yep.
I would imagine if you were the mother in that house, you got driven crazy.
Oh, my word.
with those guys. Super Dave, though, there's a Super Dave thing you should look up. He's a Bob Einstein, and he's being interviewed by Glenn Campbell. He's a young guy.
Yep.
And he's a car mechanic. He's a you know, working at a service station back then. And he's being interviewed because he set the world record for ripping off a customer.
Yeah.
The guy came in for a $6 lube job, and he ended up making him spend $800.
Yeah.
And they were honoring him for setting the world record. And he said we were at 794, and he knew he had to get to 800. But he said with all the stuff he changed, I had to talk him into getting another lube job. So that got him to 800. It is hysterical.
I didn't know he had written. He wrote for the Smothers Brothers, and he.
Oh yeah, I didn't have
he had
any
a long
idea
writing
either.
Career.
No, but of course, to the modern generation, he's more well known as Marty Funkhauser.
Oh right. My God, Pat Rookie and I honored him by watching the joke he told on Curb with Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David.
This is a podcast, so we can. Did you see the one where something happened with a pickle jar and his nephew Kenny broke his wrist?
Oh no!
Did you see this one?
No, I can't. It's not ringing a bell.
And his nephew Kenny had turned into this raging, crazy people screaming at everyone because he broke his right wrist. And he could no longer pleasure himself. And, he could, and he was just this maniac. And Larry says, well, as he tried left-handed, and Marty says, nobody can do it left-handed. You're right. Nobody can do it left-handed.
Oh, I'll be looking that up right away.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
What was left in the sink was really funny on the other one,
oh,
though.
Oh, my God.
That's quite a punchline. And Larry has such disdain during the entire joke, and Seinfeld is listening to it. Larry just wants to be will you finish the joke already? Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, Super Dave was, it was definitely acquired taste. All these, the Evel Knievel put down is basically what it was.
Right.
Both 76 years old and really both the same guy.
I think so. I said that earlier. They struck me as the same type of personality.
They just kind of took their shtick and made it their own, and made it into a great career. And, It's too bad. I really, this year was the year I vowed I was going to go up to Sarasota and spend an hour with, 2 hours having dinner with Gene. And it's right next door, and I never did it, and I'm chicken myself.
Well, apparently he has favorite places that he haunts.
The waterfront, I guess the waterfront bar where he's every Monday night, steak and several cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
So, back in the day, although, I know Todd just loved being the guy's kid because he was such a character. Mm-hmm. And just enjoyed life, He just loved life.
Mm-hmm.
So
we didn't chat since the Vikings performance. That was fairly dismal.
Did you watch it?
Bits and pieces.
Quite a bit.
Bits and pieces. It was tough to get it down there.
It was phenomenally rotten. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys. I haven't talked to these guys.
I was there for the first half.
Yeah, I was there. That was my first appearance at a Viking game.
And I think for the first time, boys, the fans turned on Zim.
Mm-hmm. Before
halftime.
Yeah, yeah. Well, man, it was, what's amazing is the Bears just came in and kicked the hell out of them for fun, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just, I think they got to halftime, and if the Vikings had been a touchdown ahead or not, he might have pulled the plug. But the coach said, hey, the Rams are going to win. It's not going to help us, but I can't let my team play as hard as they did the first half and then lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
So he just stayed out there and kicked the crap out of them. Can you imagine that offensive line trying to protect Cousins on an 18-degree day in Soldier Field on that turf with the wind blowing 20 miles an hour off the lake? They'd be taking him off in pieces.
We might have seen Trevor Siemian for the first time if that was the case.
Yes. And with Cousins' permission.
Right.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Nobody's playing well, Pat. The Wild aren't playing well. The Timberwolves aren't playing well.
Yeah, the Wolves would probably like to fire the coach, but there's nobody to replace him with on that staff, so they'll let him ride it out. But this is, this is not... everybody was happy when they traded Jimmy because they looked better, but they're not good enough. They're not going to be close to being a playoff team.
Is Boudreaux in trouble? Is Boudreaux in trouble?
I think he's in more trouble than anybody because of the, who knows? The new GM brought in an assistant coach, that put it on the staff, basically fired Boudreaux's Buddy Anderson and brought in the new guy. And I think if they want to make a change, the coach is right there. So I don't know. But I don't know what – they just can't score a goal when they have to, right? I mean, they're not playing terrible. They just don't put the puck in the net. As you say, they don't have the guy.
They don't have a guy. Got to have a guy. Yep, got to have a guy. No, it was tough to get English speaking.
You know, Edmonton's playing terrible. Why don't you call them up and give them five guys from David?
Yeah. Oh, I would in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's true.
How long are you going to be at the estate?
Until late March, but I might be back for a week in February. So.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I think. I don't know.
It sounds like you're going down there with about three or four women.
I'm in a place having lunch and chatting. Chatting taking place.
I see. Some chatting.
Right. At a high volume.
Yeah. So how are you?
I went to a quiet, what I thought was a quiet corner, but it was not a quiet corner.
Yeah. Well, enjoy your trip.
You know what I did today? On the way here, the bride was with me.
Yeah.
We went to the Container Store.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to one of those? Who's been to a Container Store?
Centennial Lakes?
Yes.
Okay, I know exactly where that is. I've been in that.
Where you buy a box?
Yeah,
you
another
buy
stuff.
Everything. It's you can't believe that this can be a business, but it's a madhouse.
Really?
Unbelievable. It's containers, Joe. It's space safe.
They have containers for things that you didn't even know need to be contained. That's how many containers they have.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Can contain that? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, they got it's the place is huge. Containers.
Well, did you buy a container you got to take on a plane?
No, not me. This is for something to do at home.
Oh, I see.
I think Christmas decorations.
Oh, yeah. Well, they got those, yeah. You can
get have containers.
Yeah, you got to have containers.
I did not know that needed to be contained.
All right, have a good trip.
Have a good 2019.
Yeah, you too. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
See you later. I thought he was in a cab or something.
He did when I called him. You know, he wanted us to call him at 1, or we were going to call him at 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a restaurant. I'm going to go find a quiet corner.
Right. Well, he did a pretty good job.
Said, well, good. He booked his lunch at the time he was supposed to be on. Well, like the good old days, huh?
Just like the days he would book a flight. Clean up some business we haven't gotten to. We got a nice card from Merlin, the tractor guy.
I love Merlin.
Merlin Steffen and his bride. And Merlin was great to us back in the state fair days when he actually could bring a tractor to our setting.
Oh,
at the fair. Remember that?
Yeah. Beautifully shined up tractor that's been fully restored.
Organizers of a woman's march slated for Northern California next month have canceled the event, saying they were concerned the participants would have been too white. So you can't, they would have been disqualified. You got to have.
You're way too white. I'm sorry, it's just not going to work.
In a news release, organizers for the march in Eureka, about 275 miles north of San Francisco, said the decision was made after many conversations between local social change organizers and supporters of the march. Up to this point, the participants have been overwhelmingly white, lacking representation from several perspectives in our community. So you're just too white.
Right.
Can't do it.
Good luck with that.
Julia writes, I'm happy your Christmases were joyful. Matt's reports of bliss as he partook in celebratory refreshments made me giggle. Although Mary, wine was necessary for me as well as extended family descended upon our GL home. This morning I enforced, this is dated Friday, December 28th. When was that? Last Friday?
Yep.
This morning I enforced the female fun limitation factor on the guy as I shoved my 18-year-old out the door. Instructions including grabbing the shovel away from the 49-year-old dad and finishing space management on the driveway. Mom's role is to keep dad alive through the new year. Here's hoping all GLers are safe in their shoveling duties and husbands will forgive their wives. Less fun, but hearts ticking. Happy New Year, Julia. Boy, that is the exact opposite of what happened in my home.
Really?
Well, you know what she's talking about. We had that heavy, wet slush at the end of last week.
Yes.
I didn't space management.
Oh, no.
I was told to. And I said, I'm not shoving that stuff around.
It's going to melt.
And then plus, we were leaving the next day.
Right.
I'm not shoving that stuff around. And she was very forceful. And I won. I put my foot down. I said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
That stuff will kill you.
But did you win?
Nothing. It's now just an icy ruts everywhere.
And this high 30-degree temperatures we're going to have here locally are probably not going to help.
I think it will.
Think so?
Yeah.
Some of those are big chunks.
I think she'll
ice.
Be able to get out there and get, take care of them.
If she's got the world's greatest scraper.
That's right. That's right. Billy Stein up in Aiken writes, you wondered how the intrepid Colin managed to keep in touch on his trek across Antarctica. He had a satellite phone. When we first went to Haiti 25 years ago, the only communication we had with the U.S. was through the generosity of ham radio operators. Then we got a satellite phone, which works anywhere on Earth. And on our last trip in 2012, everyone had cell phones. I imagine Colin kept his phone charged by solar power as he was hiking in 24-hour sunlight. As wonderful as his accomplishment was, my money is on Shackelford. I'm sure Colin didn't leave any booze behind for us to sample. Downing, frequent contributor, writes, you boys had a laugh about the difficulties of going to the bathroom while trekking across Antarctica. No, I didn't. You did, Rookie, because that's immediately where your mind went.
Yes.
It reminds me, Downing writes, of something much more serious. A great living American, now departed, once told me about the difficulties of fulfilling such basic needs while viewing Europe from a B-24.
Oh, boy.
He told me it was so cold inside the unpressurized planes that they simply pooped in their pants rather than pull them down and be exposed to the cold air.
Gross!
Urinating was supposed to be easier. There was a tube to go in so that the waste would run outside into the air. However, the reality was that the urine ran back along the fuselage and became yellow ice covering the tail gunner's window. So instead, they just peed in their helmets, waited
Knock
until...
Knock it off, guys!
Well, this is serious. So instead, they peed in their helmets, waited while the urine quickly froze, and then threw the chunk of yellow ice out the window. Truly the greatest generation. Isn't that,
wow.
isn't that the
I
truth?
I think the precious kids of today wouldn't be able to handle that like those no. guys did.
And coming up, January 20, the Super Blood Wolf Moon eclipse. I can't miss this, can I?
The Wolf Moon? I don't remember a Wolf Moon.
Oh, you get a Wolf Moon. January 20. The Super Blood Wolf Moon eclipse is actually just a concurrence of three separate phenomena, a lunar eclipse, a super moon, and a wolf moon. A lunar eclipse occurs when the Earth is positioned between the sun and the moon, casting the moon completely in the Earth's shadow and giving it an orangish-bloody look. Full lunar eclipses occur between 2 and 4 times a year. We've been through this. A super moon occurs when the moon is within 90% of its closest possible distance to Earth. And according to EarthSky.org, the moon's orbit will take it between 221,681 miles and 252,622 miles this year. On January 20, the moon will be about 222,274 miles from Earth as a full moon. So in other words, it's going to be huge.
I have a question.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to make a joke.
Nope.
And just, I can't remember if it was 2018 or 2017. I'm trying to go as long as I can mm-hmm. without contributions to the scan fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back to the helmet story.
Yeah.
How did it, if it froze, how was he able to get rid of it without it sticking to the helmet?
I suppose you could just knock it against the fuselage and it would have come out as a big ice cube.
All right.
It would have come out as
so
a big...
the helmet almost acted like an ice tray.
Right. Exactly.
Got
exactly.
it.
Finally, the Wolf Moon is just another name for the first full moon of the year. This year's full moon just so happens to coincide with the lunar eclipse. It'll occur at 12:12 a.m. Eastern Time on January 21st, but you'll be able to watch the moon turn from white to orange in the hours beforehand.
Cool.
January 20 will mark the final time a lunar eclipse and a super moon occur at the same time until May of 2021.
Mm.
So I don't see how I can possibly miss that.
No, you usually pay attention to what it has to do with the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but if it's a object in the sky that's cruising around, you tend to miss that because you're looking down.
I told you, I've told you this occasionally, that in times of uncertainty, whether they be economic uncertainties or cultural uncertainties or world war peace uncertainties, the sightings of what are presumed to be UFOs go up.
Okay.
Are you aware of the woman in Kiowa Island, South Carolina, who over Christmas Eve filmed a dancing red orb from her deck, and it played up and down the coast, and many, many people also reported it. They're trying to pass it off as a Chinese lantern, but it was too big. It was very odd.
I didn't see this.
And this was reported by the Charleston newspaper. It wasn't in the, you know, it wasn't in the grocery store checkout line newspapers.
Right, Inquirer.
Yeah, you know, there's something going on out there.
Well,
but only in times of uncertainty.
Right. When we have stuff to do,
mm-hmm.
and everything's going smooth, they don't see this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if other people saw it, it obviously was something. They just can't, what, because the video's too blurry?
No, it's pretty good, actually.
Hmm.
But, you know, people say, oh, no, it's a weather balloon, it's a drone, it's a Chinese lantern, what have you. I prefer to think it was a visitor coming to have a look on Christmas Eve, and it danced around and changed shapes and went up and down and sideways. And
probably because we've been messing with Mars. Mm-hmm. They're going to come back at us and say, hey, you come and check out our place, we're going to come and check out yours.
And now the Chinese have just landed a vehicle on the dark side of the moon.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean, though? It just means it's darker over there. It's the same thing.
Attaboy. That's why it's called the dark
side.
Well,
no, but why is that such a big deal?
I guess because it hadn't been done.
Okay.
I have no particular interest in the Chinese landing on the dark side of the moon.
So that the dark side of the moon has never seen direct sunlight.
Again, you're on the right track there. That's as it goes around.
Well, I don't process that very often. I mean, that's you know, that's something.
Well,
you don't really
tell you the
about.
Truth, either do I. Either do I.
It's really bizarre that it just hangs out there and doesn't spin.
All right, we have a double secret local case for the Gumption County Institute for the Criminally Incompetent. We have a local case for the Gumption County Institute for the Criminally Incompetent. Excuse me. Right here in the Twin Cities.
What do you got, brah?
Kind of a sad one.
Oh.
A Bob Marley hat helped police nab a man suspected of robbing a Dollar Tree in Roseville on Christmas Eve.
Good choice. Good choice, good plan.
You haven't heard anything yet.
Oh, no.
Quincy Gerard Petty, 39, also reportedly forgot to put his mask on when he first walked into the retailer on Larpinder Avenue and told an employee at the register he wasn't playing, court documents say. Open your register.
What?
I'm robbing you, Petty reportedly said. He later reached under his sweatshirt near his waistband and yelled, "If you put your hands down, y'all done," according to the criminal complaint filed against him via warrant this week in Ramsey County District Court. This is from the Pioneer Press. A store employee recognized Petty as the boyfriend of another employee, authorities say. When he saw the man look at him, Petty remembered his mask, pulled it out over his face, according to the complaint.
Forget what you just saw, sir.
Another man accompanied Petty during the robbery, the complaint said. They took off with about $2,000 after store managers emptied a safe. They fled in a red SUV.
Aha. Kind of all blending right. in again.
Police tracked down a vehicle matching the description to a location near Petty's girlfriend's home. He and his girlfriend were found outside her residence, and Petty was arrested, the complaint said. When he had changed his clothes, he was wearing the same Bob Marley hat that store employees reported to seeing on the suspect, according to an affidavit. Officers also found a crumpled envelope with the word robbery written on it inside Petty's pockets.
Spelled correctly?
Along with two coin wrapping papers and more than $600 in cash, mostly in dollar bills. Well, it was a dollar store.
I was just going to say $2,000 in ones.
Petty denied involvement in the robbery. His girlfriend said he was with her all morning and that the incident was a setup by the store in retaliation for a complaint she filed. Petty faces one count of second-degree aggravated robbery and a second count of simple robbery. He has no criminal record in Minnesota. No attorney was listed for him in court records. Okay, Quincy.
Yep.
This is why we're here.
Here
this,
we go.
This is the Gumption County Institute.
We're going to help move you along.
Here's what you do, Quincy. You put the mask on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Before you enter the store, especially if you're going to be recognized as the boyfriend of that of a store employee.
Okay, let me. Let
You're going to be known, Quincy. Yes.
Let me play the role of Quincy here.
Yes, sir.
In the back.
Yes.
Is it to my benefit that I go to a dollar store where I know a lot of the people already and I kind of know the layout, or should I go to a completely random one where they have absolutely no chance of identifying me?
Your second option is best. You really want to go to one where you have no relationship with anybody in the store.
Not the one down the block.
No, and you still want to wear the mask before you go in the store and maybe ditch the Bob Marley hat.
Okay. And that, so when
I What is a Bob Marley hat? The long stocking cap?
Isn't it got the braids? Yeah, with the multicolored deal.
Yeah. Right, okay.
What's the great Ricey story where the is it a former basketball player that robs the convenience store?
Oh,
and
yeah,
said,
Jimmy,
come on, what are you doing? Yeah. Hey, it ain't me.
It ain't me. It ain't me. I'm not doing it.
Well, he was right. It ain't me.
It ain't me. So that's today's lesson at the Gumption County Institute for the Criminally. What do we have here? What is this?
Well, it's winter time, and this gentleman would like to speak. I have no idea what it is about. It's your guy, Stu.
Stu? Stu?
Is he sleeping? Stu!
Stu.
Hello? Is this me?
Stu, you are a frequent adventurer.
Well, finally, we've got you. I can't understand where this has gotten me. You don't know how hard it's been for me to track you down.
The Winter Carnival is coming up, and Stu, for listeners who might not know your history, you are an avid treasure hunter for the Minnesota Winter Carnival, an avid treasure hunter. You're part of a group, is that correct?
The coolest crew, Stu Crew, has been called before with all of the to-dos that you've provided.
I don't write the clues, Stu.
Well, first, let me say to you, sir, hail the clue writer.
Well,
that is red herring number one.
I've tried to disabuse you of this notion for years. For some reason, you're fixated on the fact that...
Well, you don't even work for the paper any longer.
There's
no conflict of interest, and you can come out and be clear that year will be found in Ramsey County, not in a city park.
I can't...
True or not?
I can't help you, Stu. I wish I could... You always put on a valiant effort. You're a little, you have a little trouble getting around, and I know it's an effort for you to conduct the search, but you've got to get over the idea that I have anything to do with it.
I will work on that in this new year.
All right, I appreciate that. You've been sowing that bad seed for many years. You've gotten me in a lot of trouble.
I have not been the sower of the seeds, maybe a prevailer of the inevitable, if you will.
Well, it's not inevitable.
Listen, I want to know firsthand, will you meet me out this year, yes or no?
Meet you where?
Well,
I think during their hunt. Either.
Yes, I will.
I think... Bob's Bar in St. Paul is finest divinity to meet.
Right. Where?
Always Bob's. Accessible for my kind, if you will.
I see, sure.
You don't know,
I'd gladly meet you at Ob's and prove to you that I don't write the clues.
We'll have to find out. The proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Do you know what? Do you know what a CPAP machine is? Do you have one of those?
In return to fighting the medallion, I thought rather that was not metal, not ferrous. You can't see any of that with sound waves.
What?
If you're implying that I use equipment to look for the medallion.
No.
I use all that I can. I don't think
he meant that.
CPAP is a different machine. It's not used for finding. Forget it.
Yeah.
Just forget it.
Stu, I'll be glad to meet you at OBS. You get back to us and set that up.
Oh, very well. Good day.
Thank you, Stu.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Stu, and good luck this year. Really faded out on me here in the end.
Well, he's getting older. He's been with us for what? How long?
Do you have a CPAP?
Long
I don't
time.
Use anything
well, I,
to
I
help
wasn't
me.
Even trying to. I thought he should invest in
That's
that so
I
he
thought.
Could or
Breathe
have the surgery
bit.
You had,
yes.
whatever
oh,
it is.
It's a life changer. Yeah. I recommend it highly.
Well, good luck to him and good luck to the misguided people like him who believe I have anything to do with the
you're
with
never,
the Carnival
you'll,
cruise.
You're never going to escape that.
I know, but I don't do it. And you know well I don't do
it. I know
it.
You don't, but I still love to tease you about it.
Right.
Because I like the people that don't know to still think that you do that.
Yeah. I've known clue writers over the years. I bet I've known three. And I'm not one of them.
So you know who in the past
has currently written, currently I have no clue. Currently no idea.
Can you name one or do they always have to be?
Well, at the late Gareth Hebert, who wrote the Oliver Town column, I believe he was a clue writer.
Okay.
The late Jim Ragsdale.
Oh.
From the Institute of Short Corn.
The Short Corn Institute.
I think he was a clue writer. But beyond that, I'm not willing to say. Yeah.
Ragsdale was funny.
Yeah. Say, I had a previously scheduled situation prior to this last Mexican break. So we're going to resume the podcast on Tuesday.
That's right.
January 8th.
Tuesday January 8th.
But Chris, I'm sure you have wonderful things planned.
I do.
For tomorrow and Monday.
And we had some GLers that were a tad confused on the broadcasting schedule over these holiday breaks. Yeah. A lot of them were very understanding that it's holiday season. You know, we got to do stuff with the fam and whatnot.
Right.
But we have a lot in store for the GLers.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah,
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Hey, you know what? Happy New Year. GarageLogic.com is where you find all the extras. Greg Holcomb's wonderful cartoon creations capturing Garage Logic, especially Johnny Height and flip-flops. Also, find out what is on Joe's bookshelf, the latest addition to Author's Corner, and so many other things. Please rate us on Apple iTunes. I saw a lot of comments on Apple iTunes the last couple of days. And over the past couple of months, you guys have been really good at rating us. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time. Happy New Year from Garage Logic.